Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. While you're standing, one verse in Acts chapter 10. It pays to be perceptive. We know Yogi Berra, in his wisdom, made a profound statement that you could observe a lot just by watching. And those two together are very helpful, aren't they, for what you need to do. Peter talks about being perceptive in verse 34. And that's what I want to emphasize here today, and you're hearing, the Lord willing, and with his help. Let's read together Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Praise God. I'm thankful we don't have to go to Jerusalem. I'm thankful we don't have to have Hebrew heritage. I'm thankful we are included because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. And yet it behooves us as people of the word, people of the name, that we need to be perceptive. We need to be aware of the times. We need to know what is happening. Not in terms of disaster, the sky is falling, oh no, well look at all of this stuff that's happening. No, look at the opportunities God's giving. Look at what the Lord is doing to open hearts, to open doors. Go forth with the word of the Lord. Go forth with your testimony. Praise God. Be perceptive of what God desires to do. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, this perception of Peter in Acts chapter 10 follows many, many perceptions that he had already had in his walk with the Lord. As a fisherman, he had to be perceptive. He had to know the weather. He had to know the seasons. He had to identify the species of fish, and whatever fish he was fishing for required a different technique, required a different time. And so he had to learn all of that. His boat, his equipment, his nets, everything that was involved there, he had to be perceptive. There was different times, there was different techniques, and all of these things fit together in his lifestyle as a fisherman. He'd fit right in right now, wouldn't he, here on the peninsula. He'd have a time of his life pulling red salmon in, going down and getting halibut, and hoping there'd be a king on the line somewhere along the time of his fishing. But that wasn't to be. Maybe in the millennial reign. Isn't that going to be something? 1,000 years of peace. Because the devil's gone. Amen. He's in the bottomless pit, praise God. And one angel put him there. And shut him up. I love those words in Revelation. Shut him up. It means put him in a place, confined, contained. But I like the way zipped his lip too. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But maybe we'll be able to fish with Peter here on the peninsula. But the Lord came to them, and John identified him. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew, Peter's brother, told Peter about finding the Messiah. His perceptions were there. John's perceptions were there. They were on target and knew who Jesus Christ came to be. Thank God. And then Peter had the occasion of meeting Jesus face to face. And the Lord told him his name. Even before there were any introductions, even before there was anything that was exchanged and so on as identity, your name's Simon, you're going to be called Cephas, which is a stone. Praise God. Peter's standing there just amazed at all of this. But that was just the beginning of the changes that were to come to Peter. Thank God our God is good at changing things. Our God is good at changing character, changing people, changing circumstances. Amen. Thank the Lord that he continues that aspect of changing. And we need to be perceptive of those changes. We need to be aware of what the Lord desiring to do. Amen. We may feel like, oh, I can't teach a Bible study. Oh, I can't do that sort of thing. You need to be perceptive of what God desires to do in your life. Go ahead and step out by faith. Go ahead and open the Word of God in that coffee shop. Go ahead and let the Lord lead you, amen, and help you so that you can teach what the Word of the Lord says. Amen. Be perceptive of what God wants to do. Peter saw the Lord teaching on the shore of the lake. And the Lord requested, let me get aboard your boat and push me out. Let me address the crowd that is on the shore from your boat. And that turned out to be a unique pulpit. And Peter probably never thought that that would happen before. But now the Lord is showing him a different perception. And then when the message was finished and the crowd began to disperse, the Lord turns his attention to the fishermen. Peter and Andrew and John and James and the others who were there. Launch out. Let down your nets. Well, Peter is the fisherman. He's the professional. He knows what they've done all night long. And he gives that report. We've worked all night with no fish. But I like the way he adds this part. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Oh, if we can learn to have that aspect in our attitudes and in our actions. Nevertheless, Lord, we've not seen the results. We've not had the outcome. There's not been what we were hoping for. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Praise God. And we trust that God is going to bring forth the results. Amen. And they were astonished that they caught so many fish. That the Bible says their nets began to break. They had to call the other boat. They loaded so many fish in both boats, they were about to sink. Our God knows how to bring forth the harvest. Our God knows how to bring forth the victory. Our God knows how to produce. Praise God. And let there be a willingness that comes in our hearts. At thy word, I will. And then a perception that Peter probably had trouble wrapping his mind around. When the Lord said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What? I want to catch fish. I want to make money. I want to be able to provide for the markets. I don't know what his perception was of that. I'm going to catch men, but oh, we know it was a prophecy of the thousands that Peter would preach to, praise God, and how the hand of the Lord would be displayed in a mighty way, thank God. So the perceptions continued for Peter as he became a disciple. Think of that, feeding thousands, 5,000 seated on the hillside, and men and women besides, and how they only had the loaves and the fishes, and what is that among this great multitude? But Peter helped pass out the fish. He helped pass out the bread. And it seemed as quickly as they broke off pieces and distributed them, it was resupplied. I don't know how that worked. I don't know what the expression on their face were. I don't know if they tried to do it as fast as they could and see if they could get ahead of the multiplication. But our God brought forth his power. Our God displayed his goodness again. And Peter became more perceptive. My God is powerful. My God is wonderful. My God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then strong doctrine came forth. You know, Paul wrote about, there'll come a time when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. There's a lot of people that have trouble with endurance. The Olympics are going on now, and it's amazing, amazing to see them go down the pool and back, down the pool and back, down the pool and back. When in the world is this race going to be over? And they're going just as fast as they finish, when they finish, as they did when they started. Amazing. Endurance. Incredible. But enduring sound doctrine? I don't need to follow that, Brother Reed. That's just someone's opinion. That's just someone's idea. I don't need to line up to that. Sound doctrine is getting you to heaven. Sound doctrine is keeping you in the presence of God. Sound doctrine is bringing the victory that God desires to give to you. Hold on to it. Amen. Hold on to it. There were those who walked away. There were those who burped and brushed the crumbs off their garment and walked away. And the Lord turned to his disciples, asking them, "Will you also go away?" God bless Peter. He's stepping forth as a spokesman now. He's ready to open his mouth. "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, he spoke a mouthful right there. Hallelujah. He had perceptions that the Holy Ghost was giving to him. He had an understanding of what the Lord would provide for him in an amazing way. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Then the Lord would ask them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They came forth with the different answers. They offered what they had heard around the crowd and those in the multitude. Some say, "You're John the Baptist." Herod thought he was John the Baptist, scared to death that he would raise from the dead. Believed in a resurrection, but continued in his ungodly lifestyle. "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And then Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" See, he's interested in your perception. He wants to know what you're grasping. He wants to know what you're receiving. He wants to know what you have a handle on and what you're able to do with it. "Whom do you say that I am?" And here goes Peter again. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Praise God. Thank the Lord for the blessing that came to him with the revelation. Amen. It wasn't the revelation of Peter being the rock. No, the rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. That's what the church is built upon. That's what we claim and know and understand. Praise God. Because of the power of the Lord that is there. Oh, God, help our perception to understand the church is built upon a rock. The church is built upon a foundation. The church is built upon a foundation that is not going to be unstable. It's not going to deteriorate. It's not going to fall. We're going to be able to stand in the power in the presence of the Lord. No matter what comes, no matter it's up against, thank God the power of God is there to minister in a wonderful way. Peter was given the keys at that time, that same instance. Keys? Boats and chariots don't need keys. Horses and donkeys don't need keys. What do I need keys for? Keys were for a house or for a treasure. Keys of the kingdom. Praise God. And Peter was entrusted with those special keys to open the treasures of our heavenly home. Hallelujah. And help us to be able to enter in as he desires. And thank God that the Lord would be there to provide. Now, by this time, Peter might be thinking he's at a much higher level, that he's special. Well, of course, he is special. And of course, he's being elevated to another level of spiritual understanding and perceptivity, but it's not him. He needed a reminder of his humanity. And when Peter rebuked the Lord, Jesus had just told them about the arrest, the trial, the mistreatment that he was going to have. He's going to be killed. He's going to rise again on the third day. Peter rebuked him. "Be it far from thee, Lord." Maybe he was feeling pretty confident in himself after being called blessed and after getting the keys to the kingdom. Maybe he's feeling like, I can just go ahead and say this. But the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Ooh. Ouch. Need to understand who you are and who he is. There's only one God and you're not him. Amen. And neither am I. But I'm going to continue to lift up the one who is the I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Peter is not literally satanic. The Lord was speaking of things that were opposed to him and his divine plan. The savoring of things of man. I can't do that. I've got to set my affection on things above. Hallelujah. And understand there's a powerful place that I've got to be. Thank God that there were experiences that were powerful that Peter was able to step into as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the perceptions of who he was following, the perceptions of who he understood Jesus to be, was to grow even more. Peter, James, and John climbed the mountain with Jesus, the mountain of transfiguration, as we identify it. And the Lord went through a change. He was transfigured before them. Jesus' face was shining like the sun. His clothes were white as the light. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. And Peter spoke out again. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Oh, it's always good to be in the presence of the Lord. Always good to know who you are following. Always good to see the display of his divinity, of his power, of his blessing. Praise God. It's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I'm glad he wasn't building them for Peter, James, and John. He was building them for the ones who were to be honored. Amen. A fisherman telling a carpenter, let's build. Well, at least he wanted to honor. He wanted to put him in place. Thank God. Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus to Jairus' house. Jairus' 12-year-old daughter lay dead, still in death. No longer any jubilation, no longer any giggles, no longer any playing with dolls, no longer any learning how to cook and take care of the house. And so no longer any of those things that he cherished, that he treasured in his 12-year-old daughter. Now she's just lying there, still in death. Jesus said she's sleeping. They mocked. They scorned. Jesus put them out. Got to have the right attitude. Got to have the right perception. Who is it that's speaking? Who is it that's talking? Who is it that's given the promise? Who is it that's going to perform? Be perceptive of what God wants to do. It may look like a hopeless situation. It may look like it's impossible. It may look like it's not going to work out. It may look like it's going to come to nothing. But remember who gave the promise. Remember who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Remember who declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And the Lord raised her up. And Peter was there to see her eyes flutter open, to see her chest begin to rise again in breathing, to see her hands begin to move and reach out to her mom and dad, to hear words of endearment and love being exchanged between parents and their precious little 12-year-old girl. Thank God for the perceptions that Peter was able to receive as a disciple and following the Lord. Amen. Jesus came walking on the water in the night, in a great storm. All the impossibilities that were there that the Lord erased. How could he be on a mountain in prayer and see his disciples out there fighting a storm? It was night. It was dark. The storm was great. But the Lord came walking to them. They were fearful. It's a spirit, they cried out. But the Lord said, it is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad we can hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful we can hear his power and his goodness, even in the storm. It hadn't gotten calm yet. That was coming, but it was still rough. The wind was still howling. The waves were still crashing. The spray was still flying on them. They knew they were in trouble. But Peter stepped forward. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. That's all the Lord said. Come. Praise God. And the water that Peter was raised around all of his life, the water that he had fished in, the water that he had swam in, the water that he was so familiar with, knew you can't walk on that water. But the Lord was, and he wanted to as well, and so we know he did. But humanity shows up. Weakness comes forth. Focus is lost. Instead of on the Lord, the waves, the wind, and he begins to sink. We need those reminders sometimes. He's Lord. I'm his disciple. Amen. He's God. I'm his follower. He's Father. I'm just a son, or in case, a daughter. Thank God for the power of the Lord to be displayed again and his strength provided for Peter. He got back in the ship, calm. What perceptions, what experiences, what blessings. But we know the weakness was displayed in a denial. Jesus arrested in the garden. Peter swinging the sword. The right ear of the servant of the high priest, Malchus, severed by Peter. And the Lord healing him on the spot. I don't think Peter, he'd seen the Lord heal many times before. The perceptions, he's a healer, was solid, was strong. He knew God could get it done. But right there in that moment, the connection of healing and Jesus was probably not as strong. He was more concerned about himself, more concerned about what was happening, the arrest and so on. But I wonder about Malchus. Did that healing touch change his perceptions? Did that healing touch make a difference for him later on? Was he among the great company of the priests? Well, he was not a priest. He was a servant of the priest. But a great company of the priests in Acts come to the Lord. Was Malchus right there with him? Look at my ear. It was cut off. It hurt bad. It bled terrible. But he picked it up out of the dirt and the mud, and he put it right back on my head. Perfect. Praise God. Oh, yeah. God wants to change our perceptions of him again and again. Now, Peter had claimed he would die with the Lord. Actually, all of them did. All of them agreed. We're going to die with you, Lord. But then they fled. Peter followed afar off. But just as the Lord said, before the rooster crowed, he denied the Lord those three times. Self-preservation is a very, very strong instinct. You're gonna cling to life. You're gonna hold on. You're gonna flee, and the flee and fight reactions that are there. More than likely, you're gonna flee. Peter needed to perceive his weakness and realize he had to pray for strength. See, the Lord told him, the spirit is willing, but the flesh, it's weak. You need to pray. You need to hold on. Praise God. And what a torturous 3 days that followed the Lord's crucifixion. Peter seeing that. Peter aware. Peter knowing the condemnation, the guilt, and so on. No wonder he ran to the empty tomb. No wonder he heard the report of Mary Magdalene and what expressions were on his face, what feelings were there, what excitement that would go through him, and then the guilt that would try to wear him down. And so he ran to that tomb and saw that it was empty. And oh my, the emotions that were there. The perceptions that he tried to process, and then the Lord appeared to him and the other disciples, and he heard the Lord say, peace be unto you. Praise God. Peter desperately needed that. Peter was sinking in self-condemnation. The devil made sure he felt the guilt and the shame. The devil does that. But thank God the Lord is there with forgiveness. The Lord is there with mercy. The Lord is there with peace. Hallelujah. And for 40 days, Peter perceived that the Lord is indeed alive. Amen. Alive and powerful. And the Lord focused them on his Spirit and his name. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, the Lord told his disciples. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Thank God he pointed them to that beginning. He pointed them to where they needed to go. Their perceptions were necessary for them to understand. And so the Bible says, with joy they returned to Jerusalem. With joy they made that Sabbath day's journey. With joy, they understood the Lord is going to send his promise. Praise God. They saw him ascend up into the clouds. Two men in white appeared, saying, why stand ye gazing? Why are you just standing around here? This same Jesus, hallelujah, which is taken from you into heaven shall so come again in like manner, even as you've seen him go. Thank God that's what we're looking for. Thank God that's the perception that I believe the Lord would have us to focus upon. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then Peter began to use the keys. The day of Pentecost came, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Peter stood up with the 11. Amen. There was a unity that was there. There was an understanding that was there. Was a perception that was there of what God was going to do. Peter stood strong for the Lord. He's not going to be silenced. He's not going to be intimidated. He's not going to be brought down. He brought forth a powerful scriptural message. Thank God. And those that heard him were convicted and asked, what shall we do? I'm glad the answer was very clear and very direct. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! It took a little while for Peter to believe even his own message, but God was doing a work. God was showing his power. God was bringing forth in a mighty way. Philip went to Samaria to preach. Miracles, healings, demons cast out. Great joy in the city. Thank God. There was a powerful move of the Holy Ghost, and they believed and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, twice it's mentioned there, Acts 8 and 12, Acts 8 and 16. He wanted to get forth the message that it happened. They hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Peter and John were called from Jerusalem, and when they came, they laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost, and they did. Powerful, wonderful. Perceptive of what God is going to do, pouring out his Spirit on even those who only had a heritage partial of being a Hebrew. Thank God the power of the Lord came upon the Samaritans. They had seen miracles. They'd been healed. They had demons cast out. There was great joy in the city, but they needed to receive the Holy Ghost, and God poured out his Spirit even as he had promised. And then Simon stepped forth, a sorcerer who extorted money from people. He offered the disciples money, Peter and John, for the power of laying hands on people and them receiving the Holy Ghost. You see, it wasn't just a nod. It wasn't just a raised hand. It wasn't just an affirmation, yes, I believe. Oh, therefore you've received. No, there was something dynamic. There was something powerful. There was something supernatural. Hallelujah. And they spoke in tongues, because of the consistency of the message that came forth. So Peter had the words from Simon, give me that power, I'll pay you. But Peter perceived that Simon the sorcerer was afflicted with bitterness and in the bound by sin, and he admonished him to repent. Thank God the Lord can bring changes to people. The Lord can rescue people. The Lord can redeem people. The Lord can change people. Hallelujah. Peter had opened the door to the Jews and now the Samaritans, and many more went through that open door as Peter and John testified and preached the word of the Lord in many villages of the Samaritans. They traveled throughout, and there they were, stopping here and there and preaching until Peter ended up at Joppa. And now the Lord's going to do another work. Now the Lord's going to show another way. Because over in Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius who is praying. A centurion of the Italian band of the Roman army. When the Lord desires to show something, he really goes to the extreme. You couldn't get any farther from Hebrew heritage. You couldn't have identified anybody who was more despised, more resented, with any more animosity that was held than a Roman centurion. Didn't matter what band he belonged in, what kind of music he played. That wasn't music. Just want to see if you're awake. But God wanted it to be clear. He's including non-Jews in the plan of salvation. Thank God, Cornelius was devout. He feared God. He gave alms. He prayed always. Oh, man, he'd be a charter member of many Christian churches today. An angel appeared to him while he fasted and prayed. And the angel gave commendations. God's remembered your prayers, your giving. But that wasn't the end of it. Send to Joppa for Peter. He's staying with a tanner named Simon. He'll come and tell you words, praise God, of what you ought to do. Well, God's no respecter of persons. That's the message that's going to come to Peter. And he's up on the rooftop praying. You ever been in a tannery? You ever been in a taxidermist shop? You'd understand why Peter is on the roof praying. Kind of smelly. All of those fish and all of those skins and all of that stuff, you know. Well, a tannery, I guess, is different than a taxidermist, but more or less the same thing. Still stinks. So he's on the rooftop. He's praying. He's calling upon God. The noon hour came. He was hungry. And all of a sudden, a vision. And it looked like a sheet drawn up in the four corners, kind of like a bag. And in that was all of these different animals. Rise, Peter, slay and eat. Oh, no. No, no. You're not going to get me to do that. Those are unclean. I've never had anything unclean. Rise, Peter, slay and eat. It happened three times. The perception of Peter was a little delayed because the Lord is telling him, that which God hath cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. Three times. God, help us to be perceptive. God, help us to be aware. Man, the Lord tells you to go and invite that person to church. The Lord tells you to go and witness and testify to that person. Don't make the Lord tell you three times. Just get up and go. Because the devil's sure not going to tell you to go and testify. You can know it's the Lord telling you. Amen. But Peter is sitting there thinking, what's going on here? What does this mean? And the Spirit spoke to him again. And told him, there are three men seeking you. Go with them. And this time, don't doubt. Doubting nothing. Well, Peter saw the three men, talked to them a bit, and then got six others to go with him. Come on. I need you to go. I'm going to Cornelius' house. You can imagine the discussion those seven brethren had. Cornelius. Who's he? Well, he's in Caesarea. Yeah, I know, but who is he? He's a Roman centurion. What? You know, back and forth. I wonder if that discussion happened. We'll have to ask him when we get over there. But when Peter entered Cornelius' home, he had gathered all his relatives and friends and waited for Peter. Probably some of his soldiers were there. He was a leader of 100 of them. And maybe some of them were there as well. But when Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet to worship him. That could have been pretty entertaining, pretty satisfying, pretty ego-building. But Peter didn't allow it. No, stand up. I am a man. That needs to be written in Peter's Basilica. And understand that, you know, we worship the Lord. Amen. He's the one manifest in the flesh. He's the one who is God. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord there would be that deliverance that God would provide. Peter related how it's not lawful for a Jew to be in the house of a man who is not a Jew. He went through all of those aspects, you know. But then he said, God hath showed me. Peter's perceptions. God hath showed me. Don't call someone that God hath cleansed common or unclean. So then Cornelius related the events that caused him to send for Peter. The angel appeared. The instructions were given. Send for Peter in Joppa. He'll tell you what you ought to do. And thank God how Peter related it in Acts chapter 11 to the council that it came and asked him about it. He said, he will tell thee words. He's quoting the words of the angel. He'll tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Thank God. Amen. And so Peter began to preach. Just over 200 words, count them, about 215. He's counting, and he's telling about God. He went about, Jesus went about doing good. He was killed, but God raised him up. We are his witnesses. We did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. It's real. It's powerful. And through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And that word, whosoever, must have made a connection with them. That word, whosoever, made the realization come to them that we're included. We can have part of it. We can be blessed. And they began worshiping God. And God poured out his Spirit and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the six Jews who came with Peter were astonished that upon the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak in other tongues. Thank God for the powerful proof. Thank God for the consistency in the word. Thank God that it's open to everybody, and God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. And then Peter kept preaching. Can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank God it's whosoever. Whosoever. Amen. After Jesus talked about the new birth, being born of the water and of the Spirit, he said God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Thank God, he said he would give his only begotten Son, and there would be everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Whosoever. Thank God that the Lord would fulfill that. We had about 50 receive the Holy Ghost in camp meeting here a few weeks ago. Amen. Thank the Lord that there is that outpouring of the Spirit of God. Your perceptions of God is what the Lord is interested in here today. He's not indifferent and distant. He knows your situations and your needs. He's ready to help and provide. Amen. And thank God, no matter how big, no matter how small, our Lord is able to step forth and provide for every one of them, provide for all. Hallelujah. He's not judgmental. He's not harsh. The Bible talks about his tender loving kindness, his mercy that endures forever, his compassions that fail not, they're new every morning. Thank God that we know he is the healer. There are so many here that can testify of being healed. Hallelujah. And thank God for resurrection power that is brought forth when the Lord brings forth his healing touch. Hallelujah. The Lord will raise up those that are prayed for and anointed with oil, and the power of God is there. God delivers. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out. The man from Gadara was called Legion because he had so many devils, but God delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank the Lord, he can still deliver. Depression is not God ordained. God can deliver. Amen. Fear is not what the Lord desires for you. No, it's faith. And fear can be cast out. Thank God. Thank God that he's able to do that work. Could you stand with me now, please? Sin is why Jesus died on the cross. And that's where forgiveness was extended. Lord, forgive them. Thank God that he made that prayer. Lord, forgive. And I'm thankful we can be made free from sin. Amen. Free because of his power and because of his deliverance.
Right.
Our perceptions of the Lord need to include all of his glory, all of his power, all of his strength, all of his might. The devil would love to push you into a corner and make you cower there in fear and trembling, as though it's not going to work out. It's not going to be powerful. No, my God knows how to bring victory. Amen. And I thank the Lord we can put our trust in him. I thank the Lord we can look to him and perceive what he desires to do and the work that he wants to accomplish in our lives today. I'd like for you to come and pray. We've got a few minutes here now.
Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's come and stand in this altar. Kneel if you want to. Sit on the front bench if you want to. Let's believe the Lord together. Let's put our eyes upon him. Let's look to him for whatever the needs are that we have today. Let's trust him, praise God, and know that he's able to provide. He's able to minister. Amen. Our God is so great, so powerful, so wonderful, so able to deliver. We're putting our trust in him, thank God, and we're going to hold to his unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's call on him together now. Oh.